I'm DeWitt Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide educational and occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. We are in the 10th week of classes at Heartland Community College, and we are continuing Unit 3 and are studying jails and prisons. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Mr. John Peterson. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you for having me.
Man, I have been looking forward to having this, and I can't wait for you to actually tell the audience who you are. I have come to know you a little bit better, even though as a full online course, it's very difficult for professors to get to know their students, but I have come to know more about you because of my best buddy, Robert Banks, who is a military guy, or I should say former military guy, and was in the Army. And so I can't wait to have you to tell the audience about yourself. So let's jump right into it. Title of today's show is Secure Detention. So let's jump right in. Segment one, John, is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplish this by allowing our guests to introduce themselves. So if you would, tell the audience where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you enrolled in the course, and give us one career goal.
All right. So like you said, my name is John Peterson. I was born in Rochester, Minnesota, and raised in Bloomington, Illinois. I attended and graduated from Normal Community High School. My current major is criminal justice, but my planned major is forensic science. I enrolled in the class to give myself a better understanding because of my job. I'm currently active duty in the Navy, deployed in Greece as a military police officer. So one career goal that I have is to be 1811, which is the job code for a federal investigator for one of the federal agencies that the United States has.
All right. And so, audience, I have been wanting or anticipating this particular episode with John because John is now 1,000 miles away right now.
5,800 miles away.
And you are currently stationed in the military. And where are you stationed?
I am in Hania, Greece, which is on the island of Crete.
All right. Wonderful. And you graduated from Normal Community, correct?
That's right.
And your training since you've been in the military has been as a military police officer.
That's correct.
And so can you kind of describe to the audience what exactly you do on a day-to-day basis while you are active?
Yeah. It's different from just standing at the gate. They have actual patrol officers, and that's what I went to a separate school to do. We act as the police presence on and around the base. There's a lot that goes into it. Some we have called the Assimilative Crimes Act, because all that we can enforce is the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But what the Assimilative Crimes Act does is it takes local laws, local ordinances. For example, the UCMJ doesn't have anything for window tint. But where I'm going to DC next is 30%. So that gives us the ability to enforce that. But besides that, respond to calls for service, conduct traffic enforcement, all that. There's a lot that goes on with base housing, a couple thousand people that live on here.
Wonderful. And so, audience, John is actually serving our country. And so we certainly thank him for his service to our country. And while he is serving our country, he actually has been trained to be a military police officer and gotten some of the training that he's going to need when he actually becomes a civilian. It is a blessing to us to be able to have John serve our country and to protect our country and do that abroad. All right, let's move on. Segment two, constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. Before we ask you to tell the audience what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled Secure Detention. The first question I have for you, John, in your own words, tell the audience what the difference is between secure and non-secure detention, if you can.
So my understanding, with what I've studied, non-secure detention is normally reserved for juveniles awaiting a court case. And generally what that includes is it's usually some type of a group home where they have access to plenty of resources. And it's not like secure detention, which is your typical jail, like our own McLean County Jail, where everything that you do is controlled.
Wonderful. And so what John basically is saying, audience, is that when you are in secure detention, you're under lock and key. And so there's no way up out of there. And non-secure is something that we use a lot for juveniles. Juveniles are often placed in group homes. They're placed in behavior modification programs. Those are non-secure situations where they're not under lock and key, and they could walk away anytime if they so desire. Some other non-secure types of things that we use is electronic monitoring, home confinement, halfway houses are used as well. John, can you tell the audience the difference between, what's one main difference between a jail and a prison?
Normally, jail is used for pretrial custody and post-trial custody, only up to usually around a year, 365 days. And a prison is used for sentences for people that have already been sentenced, and that is the more severe place that you could go versus a jail. Like I said, it's probably going to be more than a year is your sentence.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so jails are supposed to be used for individuals to remain in custody for up to 365 days. But a lot of times what happens is that court hearings and court processing takes a lot longer than that. And so what you have is what you might have is clients giving up their speedy trial rights, and they end up staying in jail longer than that 365 days. But if you are sentenced to prison, you actually can remain in a secure facility for more than a year. Now, if you would, John, tell the audience what your favorite constitutional right is.
My favorite constitutional right, for me personally, I'm just going to relate with my job. It's the Fourth Amendment, protects people against unreasonable searches and seizures. And I like that because it makes me work for my job. It makes me work to get a better case against the person because I have to develop probable cause and or get a warrant to get that person's belongings searched and or seized. I'd say that is my favorite just because of the reason.
Wonderful. Wonderful. A law enforcement officer, a law enforcement official, a military man stressing the importance of the Fourth Amendment. Love it, John, because that lets me know, brother, that you are actually going to be doing it by the book, doing it by the rule, and not violating anybody's constitutional rights. Wonderful. Is there anyone, or should there be anyone, above the law?
Absolutely not. Especially our lawmakers should not be.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And that is great to hear from someone who anticipates having a career in law enforcement. Anything else you want to add to that?
I don't really have anything.
Okay. No. Okay. Wonderful. That lets me know that the citizens, wherever you decide to serve on the outside, once you have done your duty for us and for the country, you are actually going to be one of those ones that we can look up to in an honorable way, in a trustworthy manner. Somebody who will abide by the law, somebody that will not see themselves above the law, because there are some people, John, as I'm sure you very well know, see themselves as being above the law. All right, moving on. Segment three, being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in predominantly white America, what say John about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter?
I think that the BLM movement has made so many more people realize what is actually going on. Personally, me, I just really didn't see that there was much of an issue, and it really brought the issue to light that there still are white supremacists out there. And really what made me see that was the people rebelling against the BLM movement.
Wonderful, John. All right. Okay. I asked everybody that comes on the show, I don't want to ask you anything that's going to get you in trouble, John.
I see the question. I think you can answer. Okay, I'll
do it. What would you like to see? If there was one thing, what is it that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish?
I would like to see them try to get an end to the war in Ukraine. It's terrible. Lives are being lost. Yeah, that's about as much as I'll go into it, but I think that that should definitely be stopped.
Wonderful, John. That is awesome, man. I got to be honest, John, I was not expecting that answer. That's great, my man. Okay. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States?
I'm going to have to go with no for president.
Okay. All right. Should a convicted felon be allowed to vote?
I'm going to say yes for that one.
Okay. All right. Finally, marijuana has been legalized in the state of Illinois. In your opinion, should it be legalized at the federal level?
So I said yes to a certain extent. There's many benefits for it, both for the person and the government. I think, I don't remember the actual number, but Illinois made billions in tax revenue, I believe. But the caveat to that would be public service workers, nurses, I don't think should be able to use it.
All right. Very good. All right. So once again, John, thank you, my man, for your service. I actually know that you and Bob are going to sit down and have dinner together when you get back to the States. And I certainly hope that I can actually be invited and break bread with you guys. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Secure detention, non-secure detention, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.